Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 16. We are reading different stories. This is a story of Kalidas the Nectar Hound. And we had, 2 days ago, we had met Kalidas. Krishnas Kaviraj introduced that he was one of the devotees that came every year to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya for Chaturmasya. And Gauranga, he had wonderful qualities. He never said anything but the holy name of the Lord, Krishnanam Vina Teno Nahi Kahinana. He was very advanced. He was Mahabhagavat, and he was Sarala, simple and udar, liberal, and a nice instruction he was giving for all of us. Krishnanam Sankete Chalaya Vyavahar. Vyavahar, even when he was engaged in his ordinary dealings, Kalidas, this Bengali Vaishnava, Kalidas would always chant Hare Krishna. And we heard how Jiva Goswami is telling in Bhakti Sandarbha that whatever service we do, we should always combine it with the chanting of Hare Krishna. Because our services in a stage of sadhana bhakti, our seva is mixed with the three A's, right? Avidya, aparad, and anarthas. These are the three A's. So whatever service we do, generally there's a lot of ignorance there. Either ignorance of the sadhana itself, ignorance of the sadhya, or ignorance of our own identity, or the influence of tamaguna in general. So this aparad, avidya, and anartha, they are mixed in the service. So in order to purify the service and to try to bring the service to the proper position, we are enjoined in Bhakti Sandarbha, we are enjoined to chant Hare Krishna. We're painting, say we're an artist and we're painting some pastime or leela of the Lord. So we have, sometimes we read, we're either copying some existing painting or we have to create an entirely new scene by reading some description from Shastra and meditate on that description and try to catch that description in our heart and mind and to the best of our ability. And then we try to paint that scene on the canvas, reproduce that scene with the proper feelings and the proper moods so that we can present our Ishtadev, Radharani, and her beloved Shyam in the most attractive and beautiful and sweet way that we can within our acquired ability. But even when we're painting, we should chant Hare Krishna. We're painting Hare Krishna. We do yoga sometimes for keep in shape. So other people say, yes, I do yoga also. And I said, yes, but I do Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhe Shyam yoga. That our yoga can be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhe Shyam yoga. So what is that? That is that whenever we're inhaling, when we have to inhale, then when we inhale and we chant in our mind, or Radhe, 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 Radhe. Then we exhale, Shyam, Shyam, Shyam. So we're doing yoga, right? We're doing yoga. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And then it's Surya Namaskar, where you inhale and you exhale, and all these, because the movements of body are following the movements of breath. There's Rekacha, Kumbhaka, and all this. Purvaka. Purvaka, Rechaka, Kumbhaka. So we inhale Radharani, we take Radharani inside, and we put out Sham, Sham. And we come up, Radhe, Radhe, and we go down, Sham, Sham. And then if we have to count, if we're counting, or holding our breath and counting, and then we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, like one mantra, one full mantra, or two mantras. So even when performing yoga, we call this Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhe Shyam yoga. So it's not just ordinary hatha yoga, doing asanas. So even when we're painting, if we're chanting Hare Krishna, then our service will be carried nicely. Because whenever we're chanting Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are there. Because the first introduction we have to Radha and Krishna is through the sound introduction. We meet them in the holy name. So therefore he's saying that in all his ordinary dealings, Kalidas was always chanting Hare Krishna. He's cooking, say he's cooking many ladies, they have children and families. So they're doing so much cooking for their families. And usually, of course, we have to pay attention to the cooking, that it's done properly and with spicing and everything, nothing's burned. But there should be chanting also. Oftentimes people listen to tapes, lectures, or kirtan. That's also good. But he didn't have any MP3 player 500 years ago, so he chanted. And moreover, chanting is very nice because it gets us in a habit. This is a type of samskara. Samskara is a habit. Samskara means a deep impression in the citta. The citta is what we call heart or mind or consciousness. It's carrying all of our activities. Everything we've done, everything we thought, everything we've acted upon is recorded in the citta. It's like, the citta is like, what do you say, hard drive? Everything's recorded in the computer, everything's kept in the hard drive. So the citta is like the hard drive. But it's a lot harder to erase it. Erasing the hard drive is only by one way, and that's by Chaito Darpana Marjanam, by chanting Hare Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, our tongue, and we're doing any service, cooking, painting, puja, especially puja, Jiva Goswami mentions, when doing puja, unless our puja, our archan, is combined with chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna doesn't even accept it. And I don't remember, but I think he even says all the services we render, they must be mixed with chanting. Because this is actually the way, this chanting is actually the way by which we become most purified. Because all the other services we're doing, they're simply leading us to become absorbed and preparing the way and leading us to become absorbed in hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. Because ultimately all you have to do is sit down and chant Hare Krishna mantra. And then what will happen is one will go from Nam, Rup, Gun and Leela. Just by this one service. No other service is required. We may do other services because they're our duty, or they may be our, you can say our occupation. We maybe have to do different services to make a living or to maintain ourselves. But ultimately, this is, for the sadhaka, this is the service. For the bhava bhakta, this is the service. And for the prema bhakta, this is the service. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Everything else is auxiliary. This is called sarup siddhi. Swarup Siddhi Bhakti. But we have to do so many other things that are ascribed to or related to this bhakti. So now let's hear more about Kalidas. So some things we want to follow, and that's called, I think it's Anusaran. And Anukaran means to imitate. So we have to be very careful what we follow and what we imitate. Especially when you hear the next description of Kalidas. Kotu Keti Teno Jadi Pashaka Kelai. Pashakela, right? Hare Krishna Krishna Kari Pashaka Chalai. Like Pashakela in Madhyan Leela. At Radhakund, Radharani and the gopis, they engage in Pashakela. It's a type of board game. There's a board, and they have some dice. They throw some dice, and there's some pieces that they move around the board. Some marble pieces called Pashakela. It's kind of like a combination of dice and chess. Something like, dasha vira, dasha vira, dasha vira, tum. So, when he used to throw dice in jest means jokingly, it says Pashka Kelaya, Prabhupada of course adds that word, jest. He would chant Hare Krishna while throwing the dice, because literally, word for word, which Prabhupada is giving us. We can also translate all these verses based on the words that Prabhupada has given us. Kotu kete. Oh, okay. Kotu kete means in jest. Okay. So he was, in other words, he wasn't a serious gambler. He wouldn't fly off every weekend to Morocco or Las Vegas and gamble. He was just joking. Sometimes he would throw the dice and he would chant Hare Krishna. Oh, well, Kalidas, I read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kalidas is throwing dice and chanting Hare Krishna, so I'm also throwing dice. So that would be called Anukaran, imitating. Now, you would expect that our benevolent acharyas, our guardians of devotion, would certainly give a comment on this verse to make sure everything's clear. Otherwise, our little minds may take us in the wrong direction. So, in this connection, our Gurudev quotes our Param Guru. In this connection, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns, the men of this age should not imitate the jesting of a Mahabhagavat like Kalidas. If someone imitates him by playing with dice or gambling while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will certainly become a victim of offenses unto the holy name. As it is said, Hari Nam Bale Pape Pravritti, one must not commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because this is considered a sinful activity. Because anything that takes us away from Krishna is a sin. The mentality of being the enjoyer, the ego or the abhimana of being the purusha, that's also a sin. It takes us away. This independent and whimsical action is sinful. So one engages in gambling. This is one of the, we follow four regulative principles. And this comes under, what is it? Intoxication, gambling, is that? That's all, or that's a separate one, right? Gambling is a separate one. The fourth one is no gambling. So gambling means many things. It also means gambling with your human life. Using our human life not for the service of Krishna is also gambling. But in this regard, it literally means dice. So if we gamble and say, well, you know, I'm gambling, like in Chan Hare Krishna, that will counteract it, or I'll become pure, then that's the greatest offense, to commit sins or to make the Lord unhappy in that way. Because gambling is all about greed. Gambling is all about greed and about acquiring more than what Krishna is giving you. And gambling means you're trying to be more than Krishna. You're not trying to be the servant of Krishna. You're trying to be the master, trying to be the Lord of the circumstance, or the master of the numbers. So Krishna wants us always to be a servant of the servant of the servant. There's no room for gambling there. Because gambling, and there's in love, there's no room for greed. So the service of Krishna is based on love, bhakti, priti, and prem. So greed is based on the individual, not the beloved. Someone engages in gambling, then he's expressing his greed to enjoy, his greed to lord it over. So when devotee, he's just absorbed in loving Krishna and serving him. So he becomes free from greed, lust, anger, greed. These are the gateways to hell. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava. This lust and anger, they are produced by passion. Trividam Narakashvedam. It says there's three gates leading to hell. Trividam Narakashvedam. Dwaram. It says that Dwaram is leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. They're a good family. Lust, anger, and greed. Raghunatha dasera teno hayat gyati kuda. Vaishnavera uchishta kaite. Teno haila buddha. Kalidas was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. That's a good family line. Throughout his entire life, even in his old age, he tried to eat the remnants of food left by the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavera uchishta. Uchishta means remnants of food. Buddha. Buddha means old. Buddha. So this is some special characteristic of his. Aside from being a Mahabhagavat and Sarala and Udara, liberal and straightforward. And he had a little bit of idiosyncrasies of gambling and laughing and throwing dice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That was his special idiosyncratic behavior, which cannot be imitated. But we should try to follow his example of always chanting Hare Krishna, even in our ordinary dealings. Krishna nam sankete jalaya vyavahar. Gaura deshi haya jata vaishnaviragan sabharo chishtateno karila bhojan. Kalidas Now here it says he left the, he ate the remnants of food of the Vaishnavas for his entire life, even in old age. And so which Vaishnavas? He ate the remnants of food of as many Vaishnavas as there were in Bengal. Goda Deshahaya Vaishnaveragan. Gan means a group of or a collection of. Sabara, Sabaragan, Uchishta. He ate everyone's remnants. They must have been quite full. If you eat everyone's remnants, you're bound to get quite healthy. I mean, there's 1,000, if there's 1 million Vaishnavas in Bengali, and you only eat one teaspoon, 1 teaspoon is 5 grams. So 5 million grams of food is quite a lot, isn't it? How many kilos is 5 million grams? Such a lot. There's like 500 grams in a kilo, right? So 1,000 grams in a kilo. So 1,000 into 5 million. So it's like 500,000 kilos or something. I don't know, whatever. He didn't take a teaspoon. Then he took a half a teaspoon. That's 2 grams. Well, he didn't take 2 grams, he took 1 gram. So either way you look at it, it's lots of kilos. Even if he took a speck, 1 million specks becomes so much. Just like, how big is 5,000 mustard seeds? Once I measured, because we read in one Purana that this Pulatsya Muni, he cursed Govardhan. When he set Govardhan down, he said Govardhan refused to get up and move anymore and go to Benares to be in his ashram, this Muni, Pulatsya Muni. So then he cursed him and he said, listen, I curse you that you're going to sink into the ground one mustard seed every day. So I once got a bunch of, sesame seed. It says tail beach, one sesame seed. So once I lined up 100 sesame seeds and I measured it. It was something like 6 inches or something like that. It's quite a lot, 100 sesame seeds. So it's 100 sesame seeds. You can imagine, sesame seeds is something we can. I put them up, and I forgot, and it was years ago, it was about 15 years ago. I put them down, and I measured them. I guess, Western people are like this, Only a Russian guy or an American guy would do something like this. So I put them on top, lined them up on the floor, and I measured them. And it came out something like 6 inches, or 5 inches. So that's 5 inches for 100, and there's 365 days in a year. So that's 15 inches a year. So 15 inches times 5,000. So Giriraj has been sinking in the ground one mustard seed every day since the last 5,000 years. So that's 15 inches a year times 5,000. Right? So how big is that? 15 inches times 5,000. 75,000 inches into 12 is how many feet? Yeah, metric. Huh? Yeah, so Giriraj in the last 5,000 years, Giriraj has sunk into the ground 6,000 feet. Because it's described in some Puranas that he was like, 40 miles high or something like that, which is like 5,000 feet or something. He's very big, so already he's gone down like this. Anyway, this is the kind of things that Western people do. To give us some idea, that because we read that it was so high, and we don't see it's very high, and then we hear this curse also, so this curse is a real thing. And also the explanation is given that he's disappearing, he's sinking because of separation, whatever. And how much he measured that, how much he sinks in separation every day, whether it's one sesame seed or whatever. But that figure is there. It's written in Sanskrit and everything in the Puran. It says till, and Hari Vansa Puran also says till matra or till bija. So that means that's a standard of measurement, a sesame seed, and we can measure it. And we did. So there's still time for us. to have darshan of Giriraj. Well, we have to hurry up because it won't be long before he's gone. And we can see him in the spiritual world in all his glory and majesty and beauty. So he's eating quite a lot here, it looks like. Brahmana Vaishnav Jata Chota Bharahai Utam Vastu Betalana Tanratani Jai. Kalidas would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahmin families, be they neophyte or advanced devotees, and present them with gifts of first-class edibles. Now, if you read these descriptions and hear the biographies of different Siddha Mahatmas and great Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, like the six Goswamis, you see that they're always going to do Madhukari. They always go to do Madhukari in the homes of Brahmanas. Here's another, I want to bring this up a little bit. Thank you. We always hear the description that they do Madhukari. They almost invariably they go to the homes of Brahmanas. Technically, Madhukari, they say, I don't know where it's written, but I've heard, maybe I've read it somewhere also, that one shouldn't go to more than six or seven houses to take his, it's called bhikshu, or bhiksha, bhikshu. Because this is what a man requires to live on each day, about six to seven chapatis. Maximum. If you go to six houses each for, and those are those big super duper maha brajvasi rotis, which are about 1 inch thick and they're huge because they're made by hand. They don't have any rollers. All these rollers are standard size, and if you roll they come out a standard size, but brajvasi ladies don't have rollers. They have hands. And so their hands are expressing their love. Their love is in their hands. So when they're making the, when they're taking the flower, you know, because love is in the hand, love is expressed through the hands. And anger is also expressed through the hands. Right, you, palm. Right, it's also, love and anger are both expressed through the hands. Healing hands are Reiki Wallace. They kind of rub the hands over the person, or above the person. So these Brijvasi ladies, they're expressing their love for their children and their husbands and family members. So their love is coming out of their hands, and so their love is quite big. So when they take the flower, they go like this. They don't roll, they go like this. And the sound they make, when you listen to that sound, when you listen to them making those rotis, it sounds to me like it's a Prem Kirtan coming from their heart. And each one is for, they're actually thinking, oh, this is for my husband. And this kirtan is going like this, and they put it on. So they become very big, because their love is very big. So the rotis, they grow accordingly. And then they make one for their child, it's even bigger, it's the biggest one. Their youngest child, and they're thinking, oh, my child, he's so sweet, so cute, so lovable. So when they make that chapati with their hands, and so much love comes out of their hands, and that roti becomes very big. Because if you ever do Madhukari, you'll see that the rotis come in different sizes, which I've seen. There's no standard size. It can be very big, and they put them on the tawa. Of course, the tawa limits it to some extent. They have this pan. But nevertheless, so the point of the question is, why do these Vaishnavas, all these advanced Vaishnavas, they're recommending that Madhukari should be done in the house of six to seven Brahmins. One is that that's seven rotis is enough to live on every day, and more than enough. And oftentimes you get two or three rotis from one house, so then you distribute to the monkeys and cows, or maybe to other people in the ashram. In Barsana, there's one ashram in Mankutir. And there's sometimes 10 or 12, 15 devotees living there. but only one or two do madhukari. So they do. They go into the village and do madhukari, and they bring for everyone else. So that's nice. So they go and they bring big tiffins and they distribute the madhukari to everyone. So this is the question: why do they go to Brahmins' houses? And Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das and Sanatan, they were also going, moving all around Braj, but only going to Brahmins' houses. The reason for that, because someone might say, well, this isn't fair. This is bigotry or this is prejudice. Why don't they go to the homes of Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras? They're all Brijvasis and they're all born in Vrindavan and they're all having special birth. And why should they favor these Brahmins? This is, it seems that there's some dualism or there's some duality in their vision. They're not appreciating the oneness of all the Brijvasis. So the answer is that the Brijvasis, at least traditionally, the Brahmins, they all have Radha and Krishna in their home. They're all doing puja. And they all have Thakur. They all have deities. So everything they cook and everything they prepare is going to put, tulsi will be put on it. And it'll be offered to the deity. Because the devotees, they only want to take prasad. They don't want to take anything else. And if you go to some other caste, Vaishya, Brahmin, or Shudra, sometimes they don't have any deity in their house, even though they're Brijvasis, or things aren't prepared very nicely. So therefore, you won't get prasadam. You won't actually get prasadam. So this is the standard, even today, that people go to the Brahmins' houses. Now, this is what he would do. He would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahmin families, and he would present them with gifts of first-class edibles. So he would go visit the Brahmins and give them gifts, which is proper Vaishnava dealing, to give gifts and receive gifts, and give prasadam and receive prasadam. Tanar tani shesha patra layena magya kahana paya tave rahai lukana. He would beg the remnants of food from such Vaishnavas. And if he did not receive any, he would hide. He would give them gifts and then he would beg them. Actually, it says that he would give them very uttam vastu. He would give them very first-class food. Or maybe it says vastu. This can also mean first-class dravya or boga. And the Brahmins would prepare it. Or maybe he would even give them first-class food. Then after they ate, he would say, oh, please, may I have some of your remnants? And they would say, no, you're a very advanced devotee. I mean, how can we, you know, who are we? We're grihasthas. And, you know, maybe, I don't know if Kalidas is grihastha or not, but it just says, doesn't say. He just said he would come every year. And the humility of a Vaishnava is such that he doesn't want to give his remnants to anyone. He doesn't, what is his remnants business? This is for Mahabhagavats or gurus, and it's described he himself, Kalidas, was a Mahabhagavat, and he was the most advanced, a very advanced devotee. So if Krishna's Kaviraj, he understood it, and he was writing about it. So that means that other people understood it and understood it also. They said, oh no, how can we take your remnants? So then he would hide outside their house in the bushes. Bhojan karile patra felana jai. Lukana se patrani chattikai. After the Vaishnavas finished eating, they would throw away their leaf dishes. Patra. And Kalidas would come out of hiding, take the leaves and lick up the remnants. Actually, there's a painting in here of that. I don't know if we can find it very fast, but we can try. It shows him enjoying the remnants of the Vaishnavas. But he was determined. In other words, by this description, we can understand how determined he was to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Whether it's to hear them speak Hari Katha, or whether it's to eat their prasadam remnants, or just to meet them or hear them. Any kind of association, he was very determined. He was hiding in the bushes outside someone's house like a common thief. Of course, he was a rather uncommon thief. Because he was going to steal something that was more valuable than the most valuable jewels, and more precious than, or more valuable than the greatest gold or wealth, and more precious than the most valuable jewels. He wanted to steal the saliva from the mouths of the devotees. Vaishnava Fela, the Uchishta, Vaishnava Uchishta. He wanted to eat the remnants. So this is such a wealth. This is a book of religion. This is a religious book, a theology book, philosophy. If someone from another religious school, they say, oh, can we see one of your main religious books? Like, we have our Bible, New Testament and Old Testament. We have our Quran. Can you give us, yes, here's one of our main books, which summarizes all our points. So then some religious scholars in comparative religion, they read our book and say, oh, what is this? These people, they're writing, they're glorifying such a thing. This guy hides in the bushes and goes through the garbage can and licks all these people's plates. He licks their plates off, and they're presenting this in such a way that this should be imitated, and this is what we should do, and this is the standard of behavior, and this we should strive for. And he's glorified. There's only a few pages in their Bible, and there's only a few people glorified, and he's one of them. Is getting a lot of airtime here. Some people think, what kind of religion is this? I mean, so, and there are several places in Chaitanya Charitamrita about eating remnants and drinking the water from somebody's feet, and Mahaprabhu's cleaning Gundicha and they're pouring water over his feet, and Shivananda's drinking the water and considering it to be great nectar. So they can't understand how the standard and the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what their idea is. He would lick up the remnants. Says Chatikaya. Shudra Vaishnavera Gare Jaya Betalan E Matatanu Chishtakaya Lukan. Now listen to this. This is a breach of standard. And we're talking about Madhukari, because the rules for Madhukari is only go to a Brahmin's house. And if you ever do Madhukari, you have to go into the area and then you ask the local people where the Brahmins live, and they point out the houses. And you go there. Now, let's just see how sarala he was, how straightforward and equipoised he was. It says udara. Udara means liberal. So liberal means he considered every Vaishnava, although first it says he would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahmin families, even if they are neophyte or advanced. Now, he's a Mahabhagavat, so that means he's advanced. And he would even go to Kanishthas that are not advanced. And he'd give them very uttam vastu, first-class edibles, and then he would hide in the garden and lick their leaf plates, take the remnants. Now, he would also give very nice edibles to the homes of Vaishnavas born in Shudra families. Then he would also hide in the garden and eat their remnants in the same manner. He was determined. He didn't see high or low. Oh, you're a Russian Vaishnava. Oh, this is not good, you know. I don't want to take your remnants. I'll take remnants of Indian devotee. Indian devotee is paka. Videshi devotee is apakwa. Bhumi mali jati vaishnav jaru tanranam amrafala lena teno ngila tanrastan. There was a great Vaishnava named Jaru Thakur who belonged to the Bhumi mali caste. Kalidas went to his home taking mangoes with him. So that's some type of caste. Amra bheta diya tanra charana vandila tanra patnire etave namaskara koila. Kalidas presented the mangoes to Jaru Thakur and offered him respectful obeisances. Then he also offered respectful obeisances to the Thakur's wife. Now, just see, I'm a sannyasi, I don't offer respects to anybody. Right? It says in Shastras, it says in Dharma Shastras, because there's Smriti Shastras or Dharma Shastras to describe the different activities and behavior for the different varnas and ashrams. So the duty of a sannyasi, he's a guru for everyone. He simply gives blessings, Krishna Matirastu. May your mati, your intelligence be turned towards God. May you remember Krishna. Krishna Matirastu. Let it be. Let it happen. He simply gives blessings and teachings. And he is enjoined that a sannyasi does not have to offer obeisances to anyone. This is there. But we see in our Vaishnava tradition, that there is no sannyasi. There are only gopis. And Gaudiya Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vedanta, there are only gopis. There's only one master. There's only one Swami. That Swami is the Lord of Swamini. The Swami and Swamini. Swami is Krishna and Swamini is Radha. And everyone else is a gopi. There's no Brahman, there's no Kshatriya, there's no Vaishya, there's no Sudra. Naham vipro nacha narapati vaishya napi vaishya na shudro. Naham varni nacha grihapatir nova nishtoya tirva kintu prodhyanikala paramananda purnavridavdir. Gopi bartu padakamaliora das das anudas. So in Gaudiya Vedanta there are no varnas and there's no ashram. Right? Varna means color. The word varna also means color. There's only one color. The color of Radharani's heart. Taptakanchan Gaurangi. That should be the color of everyone's heart. So I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyasi. What am I? I'm a gopi. You're a gopi. We're all gopis. And Nectar Devotion, when Prabhupada was giving Nectar Devotion classes during Kartik Brat, Prabhupada was observing the Urja Brata, 1972, beginning on Pashanukushi Kadasi, he began his Kartik Brat. And there he's talking about the glories of Haridas Thakur at that section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then he said that a devotee may see so many beautiful women before him. He may see so many beautiful women in front of him. But what does he think? He thinks they're all energies of Krishna. They're gopis. They belong to Krishna. And I should serve them, because that is my position. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya Das Das Nadas. I should not try to enjoy them. That is Maya. A devotee should try to engage every beautiful woman in the service of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when a devotee acts in such a way, he will never be bewildered by the illusory energy. So Prabhupada is telling there, and everyone can confirm in the folio, said, devotee should see every woman as gopi. So every woman is gopi, and we're all already gopis, because we're following Gopinath, right? Vrijendranandan and Krishna, Shyamasundara Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Mahaprabhu. So, but he's not thinking, oh, I'm Mahabhagavat, I'm Kalidas, and I can't take anything from the Shudras. He goes to the Shudras. Then first he goes to the Brahmins and takes their remnants. Then he goes to the Shudras and takes their remnants. Then he goes to some kind of person, Jadu Thakur, belongs to the Bunimali caste, whatever that is. And then he gives him mangoes. And then what does he do? He offers respectful obeisances not only to this Jadu Thakur, but also to his wife. Patni Sahita Teno Achena Vasya Bahosamana Kaila Kali Dasera Dekhiya. When Kalidas went to Jadu Thakur, he saw that saintly person sitting with his wife. As soon as Jadu Thakur saw Kalidas, he likewise offered his respectful obeisances unto him. Ishtagoshti Katashan Karitanrasan Jadu Thakur Kahitanre Madura Vachan. They had Ishtagoshti. Gosh means sounds. Sounds or vibration. Ishta means sounds that vibrations of the Ishta, glorifying your Ishta, speaking of the Mahima, or the glories of your Ishtadev. So they discussed about Krishna, Katakshana, for some time. Madhura Vachan. Bengali is so nice. Sanskrit is so nice. Hindi is so nice. French is so nice. English is so bad. Madhura Vachan. Sweet words. Sweet words, right? Madhura Vachan. After a discussion with Kalidas that lasted for some time, Jadu Thakur spoke the following sweet words. Ami nicha jati tumi atiti sarvotam kon prakare karimu ami tomara sevan. So apparently, Jadu Thakur, although he was a great devotee, he is considered somewhat low caste, maybe lower than Shudra, because there's a sequence here. First Brahman, then Shudra, then... So he's saying, listen, I'm Nichajati. Ami Nichajati. Nietzsche, like Nietzschena. I'm very low. Jati means family, a caste. And he says, Tumi Atiti Savotam. Savutama. Atiti means Atiti Narayan. You've come without off the titi, you're off the time. Unexpected guest. You're not only a guest, but you're a Savotam. Uta means topmost of everyone. So then the translation is there. I belong to a low caste, and you are a very respectable guest. How shall I serve you? Agyadehi brahmanagari ana lana diye tahantumi prasad bhav tabiyami jiye. Jeta Thakur said to Kalidas, if you will permit me, I shall send some food to a brahmana's house, and there you may take prasad. If you do so, I shall then live very comfortably. Kalidasa kahi, Thakur kripa kara mori, tomara darshanayana muri patita pamare. Kalidas said, my dear sir, please bestow your mercy upon me. I have come to see you, although I am very fallen and sinful. Patita pamar. Tomara darshan, patita pamar. So they're having a competition here. Humility competition. In the material world, people have a competition of pride. One person is trying to outdo the other person. I'm better than you. See how much better I am. And the other person says, no, I'm much better than you. I'm richer than you. I'm more powerful than you. I'm higher than you. I'm more influential than you. I'm more beautiful than you. Everyone's always competing. Go up, 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 up. And even they have a term called one-upmanship. One-upmanship means whatever you do, then I try to do more. Whatever you say, then I say more. You tell me, you narrate something about your activities, what did you do on your day off when you go back to work? It was Sunday's day off. On Monday you meet your cohorts in business. So, how you spent your day off? Oh, we did this and that and this and that. And he tells about his exploits. Then his friend said, oh, really, you did that? Well, I did this. And, oh, you did that. You're better than me. So this is material life. But in spiritual circles, in the society of Vaishnavas, Vaishnav Gan or Rajasabha, Vaishnav Rajasabha, they're always trying to go down. First of all, everyone lives below the grass. That's the domicile for the Vaishnavas. The universal homestead for the Vaishnavas is below the grass. Trina means grass and Nietzsche means low, lower than. Trinata pisu Nietzsche na tarori vasahishana amanina amanidina kirtanya sadhari. So all Vaishnavas are absorbed in Hari Kirtan and they live below the grass. If you want to find Vaishnavas, you have to go in the grass and look underneath. That's where you'll find them. You won't find them above the grass. They're hiding. They're Gupta. Vaishnavas are Gupta. If you see anyone that's not hiding in the grass, then you know they're not a Vaishnava. Because if you see them, that means they're not a Vaishnava because they're proud. So Vaishnavas hide. They hide under the grass. So therefore, and when they're all living there under the grass, and when they meet each other, they try to say, "Oh, I'm low. I'm really low under the grass. I'm like 2 inches below the grass." And the other Vaishnava says, "No, no, but I'm 4 inches below the grass." Because like we have first story apartment, then 10 stories above the ground, then penthouse and 100 stories and all these things. So karmis are always trying to get up. You know, the top floor costs more money. And the higher you go, it costs more money. Oh, I'm in a 100 story. Oh, it's very, very big. Big man. 100 stories above the ground. So the Vaishnavas, oh, I'm 2 stories below the grass. No, I'm 4 stories below. Oh, no, I'm 10 stories below. I'm really down there. Really, yeah, I'm totally down there. So this is what's going on between Jeta Thakur and Kalidas. And they're both Krishna's Kaviraj is telling us. Actually, the fact is they're both Mahabhagavats. They're both great devotees. But one saying, Patita Pamar, I'm Patita, I'm fallen, I'm Pamar, I'm sinful. And the other one saying, yes, you're coming to me and I don't know how to serve you and I want to offer you some food, but I'm a Bunimali caste and that's very low and you're such a great Mahabhagavat, I certainly can't offer you any food from my hand. So let me send some fruits and grains. I'll send it to some Brahmin's house and his wife can prepare the food and you can eat over there because I must feed you. You're a titi savotam. A Atithi means when an atithi comes, your duty is to give them a nice asan and greet them with madhura vachan, sweet words, and give them some water. And then you can even massage their feet and wash their feet, put chandan on their head if you have such all these different facilities, and then offer them foodstuff. And every Indian home is prepared 24 hours a day to receive atithis. This is the Indian culture, custom. There is always what they call the atithi patra. What do they call it? Atithi thali, maybe. Atithi thali. They have some tiffin, and in that tiffin there's so many dried fruits and raisins and many dried fruit and spices and little sugar anise and sauf and all these things. So as soon as an atithi comes, within 1 second they can give him something to eat. Not like, oh wait, I have to cook. Oh, I don't have anything. I don't have any food in my house. You go to Western people's houses. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any food in my house. Or we just ate, or we ate everything. You'll never find that in an Indian house. In 1 second, first second you'll get water, and the second second you'll get a plate of food. Even if they have more money, they always have fresh sweets from the sweet shop. And so he's thinking, oh my God, this Mahabhagavat has come to grace my house and make my life perfect. He's saying that if you take some prasadam, if I can take you to a Brahmin's house and feed you appropriately and properly according to the standard, I will feel very comfortable. I will feel very happy. So this is the mood of Jadu Thakur in receiving Kalidas. And then Kalidas says, no, really, this is how I'm feeling it. Then please bestow your mercy upon me. I'm Patita Pamar. I'm fallen and sinful. Pavitra Hainu Mui Poino Dharashan Kritartha Hoyenu Mora Safala Jivan. I mean, this humility competition goes to no ends. With such beautiful phrases come out. Because it's not fake. That's the difference between our dealings and the Vaishnava's dealings. Our dealings are all fake and bekar, or nakli. I say nakli? Nakli? Nakli achar. Nakli achar. I don't mean pickles. I don't mean fake pickles either. I mean, it's fake behavior. We try to be humble. Let me try to be humble. You don't try to be humble. Humility moves you. When humility moves into your heart, humility moves your body. There's no humility in your heart, then anything your body does will be fake. Because humility is actually the shadow of prem. Wherever you go, your shadow goes. Wherever your body is, your shadow is there. So wherever prem resides, then the shadow of prem is humility. They're inseparable. The greater the prem, the taller the shadow. The taller the man, the longer the shadow. Right? Tall man, big shadow. The bigger the prem, the bigger the shadow, the bigger the humility. So these devotees, Jadu Thakur, they're showing real feelings. This is called sadachar. Sadachar. Satachar, or sadhuachar. The behavior of those that are existing on the eternal plane of truth. Those that exist on the eternal plane of truth are never forgetting Krishna. And they're always seeing Krishna in the heart of others, in their own heart, and the atoms. So there, when they move and when they act and when they speak in this world, it's called sadachar, the behavior that shows the eternal principle in action. The eternal principle in action is the spiritual principle, Krishna conception. So Kalidas is inconceivable how much humility he has. And it's inconceivable how much humility Jadu Thakur has. And that's what's being taught here. See the humility? This is genuine, it's real. Kalidas is really feeling, oh, Jadu Thakur, please bestow your mercy. Kripa karo. He says, kripa karo. Kripa kara mare. Me, do mercy on me. Give your mercy. I've come to see you, although I am fallen and sinful. Pavitra darshan, pavitra payinu darshan. Your darshan, I've become purified. I'm very much obligated to you. Now my life is successful. Kritartha means gratitude. I don't know what, I think you say kritagya. What do you say in Hindi? Kritagya? Gratitude? Gratitude in Hindi?
Kritagya is when you feel grateful.
Well, yeah, that's what gratitude means. You feel grateful.
No, I mean, kritagya is a noun.
Whatever it is. Anyway, I'm saying the right word. That's all I want to know. Kritartha means obliged. Obliged, grateful. Mora sephala means complete fruit, all fruits. My jivan, my life, Simply by seeing you, my life has attained, has become fruitful, meaningful, valuable, successful. Hekavancho haya jadi kripa karikar, para rajadeya para mora matedhar. My dear sir, ekavanch means icha. This is Kalidas, the Mahabhagavat, speaking to Jarutakur. I have one desire. Please be merciful to me by kindly placing your feet upon my head, so that the dust on your feet may touch it. Padarajadeha. Raj, or Padarajadeha. Raj, Padaraj means like Brajaraj. The dust of your feet. Deha means give. Moram mate dhara. Mate means head. Dhara, I want to hold. Like Vamshidhara, holding the flute. Haladhara, holding the plow. Dhanadhara, holding the bow. So he wants to hold on his head the dust of the feet of Jarutakur. Jarutakur replied, Takur kahe ache bhat kahite na juyai ami nicha jati tumi susajjana rai. He says, listen, it does not befit you to ask this of me. I belong to a very low caste family, whereas you are a respectable rich gentleman. Su Sajan Rai. Su Satjana. So he's a Satjana Rai. He's a very, Jana means person, Sat means Su, means a very Sajan. Sajan, sometimes they say Sajan means a friend of everyone, or Sajan. But Su Sajan Rai means he's a rich man, like we say Sait. In Hindi, I think they say Sait means rich person. In Bengali, they say Rai, like Ramananda Rai. Rai or Rai? Rai. He was very rich. Everything from Madras to Cape Comorin was his. That's pretty rich. They say that he was a governor of Madras, but Madras doesn't mean a city. It was all the land from Madras or Chennai all the way to the bottom of India. So he had quite a lot. He was quite wealthy. So he's saying, look, I'm down here and you're up here. You're a Krarpati and I'm a rickshawwala. You're a Krarpati and I'm just a Bunibati, whatever that is, Bunidali, whatever. Now, Kalidas replies by reciting some verses. Tavi Kalidasa Shloka Pari Shunaila Shuni Jaru Takura Barashuka Haila. Kalidas recited some verses which Jaru Takura was very happy to hear. This is quite a wonderful dialogue. This is the Humility Olympics. The Olympics of Humility. So one is tit for tat. It's like tennis. You know, 15 and 15 and 15 love and then this, that. When one serves out his humility, then the other one serves out his humility, and then one goes more Nietzsche, then more Nietzsche, and then more Nietzsche, and more Nietzsche, lower, lower, lower. And in that, as you see their expressions of ever increased humility, as the humility comes deeper and deeper, you see how much higher and higher the prema rises. How much love they really have, these Mahabhagavats. Love for Krishna and love for each other, and love for devotees in general. So now they've just been speaking some logic and some heartfelt feelings from their own, in their own language. Now Kalidas decides, all right, now it's time to pull out the Shastras. Because Shastra means scriptures, and then Shastra means weapon. There's Shastra and Shastra. So Shastra, the scriptures, they're also like a weapon. They can cut. They have, because knowledge is power. So a weapon is also powerful, but there's nothing more powerful than the sword of knowledge. So now he starts quoting verses to prove his point. Listen, I'm really low, and you have to accept this. And then, you don't believe I'm telling you this, but now I'll quote this verse and that verse, and now he's going to quote something from, this is Hari Bhakti Vilas, which probably means it's from Bhagavatam or somewhere. So then he quotes this verse. Name bhaktash chaturvedi mad bhakta swapacha priya. Tasmai deyam tato grayam sacha puja yatayaham. This was spoken by Krishna. It's quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, but usually that's all quotes from other Puranas. It's an anthology or collection. Krishna is telling to someone, even though one is a very learned scholar in Sanskrit literature, if he is not engaged in pure devotional service, It says, name bhaktas chaturvedi. You may be chaturvedi. Of course, there's a joke in India. They say, if someone's a chaturvedi, that means he's forgotten four Vedas. If someone is trivedi, he's forgotten three Vedas. If someone is dvivedi, he's forgotten two Vedas. Because these are names of different Brahmin families, like trivedi, dvivedi, chaturvedi. So Krishna's telling here, name bhaktas chaturvedi. One may know the four Vedas, chaturvedi, but if he's not a bhakta, then he is not accepted as my devotee. Madbhakta, shvapacha, priya. However, if someone is a dog eater, shvapacha, if someone is born in a family of dog eaters, if he is a pure devotee with no motive or enjoyment through fruit of activity or mental speculation, he is very dear to me, priya. All respect should be given to him. whatever he offers should be accepted, for such devotees are indeed as worshipable as I am. I'm not sure, there must be some context about prasadam here. But Krishna is speaking this verse, which Sanatana Goswami quotes in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So if a dog eater has taken Vaishnava Diksha, and he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and he has a Thakur, maybe he has Giriraj Shila, or receives some Mahaprasadam from somewhere, and he offers it to someone, even if they're a Chaturvedi, they should accept it. Krishna is telling. But as some of you may have had the experience, and if you, especially here at Radhakund, there are some particular Brahmins that are very much caste conscious. And if you have some prasadam, because I've dealt with them for years, any time I've ever offered them prasadam, they say, oh, no, thank you. Or they don't even say thank you, because that's not an Indian thing, but they just say no, like this. And I say, oh, it's Govindaji Prasad, because I know they're thinking, oh, it must be something you made. I know this is from Govindaji. They say no. It's very offensive. It's actually very offensive. The actual sadhachara is that when prasadam is offered, we always take it, no matter what, if it's from the hand of a Vaishnava. We're in a temple in a Brahman, we go to see Radharaman, and somehow Radharaman's inspired, and he directs the pujari to give us his prasadi pan. So we take it. We accept the pan. We don't eat it because we're ordered by our guru not to take pan. But we accept the pan. It's a gift from the devotee. It's a gift from Radharaman. And then we offer it to another Vaishnava. We touch it to our head, show our regard, we give it to another Vaishnava. And if you're really clever, then you might open it up. You may open up the pond and take out the coconut. Sometimes there's raisins inside or a coconut. There's something that we can take. Then you close it back up and give it to a life member or whatever. And they'll never know the difference. So this way you get double benefit. So Kalidas is quoting this verse to Jada Thakur because Jada Thakur is feeling too lowly to offer anything to this Atithi Sarvottam, this greatly advanced devotee Kalidas who has come unexpectedly to the house of Jada Thakur. So now Kalidas replies to Jada Thakur by saying, listen what Krishna says. He's telling that even a dog eater, if he's a Vaishnava, we should accept anything he offers. So I guess we'll continue there tomorrow. Continuing story of Kalidas, the Nectar Hound. This is the title of this story that we've given it. So it's kind of suspenseful. Because here is Kalidas is visiting Jada Thakur, who's in quite a low caste. He's already visited Brahmins and Shudras, and he's fed them offered them nice foods, and they've thrown the leaf plates in the bushes. And Kalidas hid in the bushes and then went out and licked all the leaf plates, got all the remnants. And we heard that Gaudadesha Sabara Vaishnava, that in Gaudadesha he was taking the remnants of all the Vaishnavas. And now he's meeting a challenge. Because he has some kind of sankalpa to take remnants from every Vaishnava in Bengal. So now he's up against some stiff competition. Jada Thakur is determined not to give him remnants. So we have to see, will Kalidas be successful?